You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
Time.
Amen. Now is the time to worship. Every day is the day to worship. Worship the Lord your God. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that's what we hear in the Word. We hear that the greatest thing is the treasures that God has put in each and every one of us. Every one of us that names the name of Jesus has treasures within them that God has put there and that God is desiring to bring forth in this time. And we just want to give glory to God today. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you continually give us new days where everything is new every morning. Your mercies are new. Your love remains. Your love is steadfast. And Father, that every morning when we wake up, God, that we can worship you, we can exalt you, and we can lift your name, O Lord, so that your name would be made known in the earth. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day. We give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. And just want to welcome Nanette Maldonado.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother Sean O'Hay.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon to you.
Shalom.
Amen. Shalom to you as well. Well, praise God. We just, again, thank the Lord for this day. Every day is new. Sometimes we get so busy and wrapped up in our lives that, you know, the days just go one to the other and we don't even know what we're doing. Well, maybe I'm just talking about myself. You know, where the days just run together and, you know, you're still trying to catch up. I'm still trying to catch up with my spring cleaning from 2024. You know, which I has taken a lot longer than I expected.
It sure has in my case as well.
And
but we will finish well, Karen.
Yes, we will. And it's going to be right on time, I think. In the Lord's time, not ours. So anyway, I played that song because that song was written by Brian Dorkson. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. And Brian was a worship leader in the Vineyard movement, you know, in the mid-80s and 90s. Had a lot of songs that he wrote. And he passed away a few days ago. And I didn't realize how much this affected me because when I came back to the Lord in 1997, I think, the year that Princess Diana died, that's when I returned to the Lord. I'm thinking it was 97.
Hmm.
Anyway, 97 or 98. And that song, Come Now Is the Time to Worship, that was like the first song that I remember hearing. And I'm like, wow, this is really a great song. So I had been backslid for 7 or 8 years and was stationed over in Guam. And I think contemporary Christian music was just starting around that time. So I really didn't know much about anything. So when I came back to the States and, you know, began to hear all these great songs, these Christian worship songs on the radio, it was very meaningful, and that all these songs were very instrumental in helping me to get back on track with the Lord. He also wrote, I mean, you know, he just had so many different the albums. He's probably got 10 or 12 different albums, and he's on, you know, of course he was on albums with other people and groups, but, you know, all the way from 1989 up until I think he just did another album in 2019, and he got a Juno Award for that, a solo album. Then he did an album with Hymns in 2021. But very prolific writer and worship leader, and I just wanted to honor him for the impact he had in my life. And we just thank God for people that are gifted. You know, there's some people that don't like
contemporary Christian music for whatever reason. And, you know, that's fine. You know, if you like hymns, that's fine. I like hymns, and I like contemporary Christian music as well. And, you know, we know that God speaks to us through his music. And the thing with Brian is that most of his, all of his songs, I think, were rooted in scripture. You know, and he just had a way to articulate what he was feeling and his love for the Lord. And he did that very well throughout his lifetime. So we just want to honor him. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We know that's in Philippians 2, 10 and 11. And also the, you know, John 4, the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father's looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And, you know, when I read that scripture, I think about, like, these songwriters that as they're spending time with the Lord, then the Lord is downloading by his spirit the songs for them to write and to sing.
Absolutely.
And that they sing the words back to the Lord. And that's what the Lord is looking for. I mean, worship is more than just music,
right,
and songs.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But it's in this context, we're talking about the music itself and the words.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that the other day, you know. And I actually was repenting because, you know, we're given so much, aren't we? I mean, we are given so much. And gosh, the God's DNA in us, just, we can't imagine the things that he placed in us, you know, all the gifts, all the skills, right? All of these beautiful things. And I was just looking at my hands, and I was looking at my office / art room, whatever it is at this point. But I was sitting there, and I just felt the invitation of my best friend, who I call the Holy Spirit, and conviction, which is my best friend as well. Mm-hmm. And he came in, and I felt like he was saying, look at your hands, look at all of the things that I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what are you doing with it?
Yeah.
And so when you're given a gift to sing, and you're given a gift of music, and you're receiving a gift of words, why not use it to glorify the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Why not share your day-to-day experiences, again, pointing out to the one, pointing out to Jesus? And so I love filling my car with music. I'm so thankful for Christian radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen,
for all of it, even the instrumentals that are released, you know, as long as it points you out to Jesus, as right, long as it, and like you said, when the word is in it, it's even better, because mm-hmm, it takes you back to the word. It takes you back, and, you know, it was birthed from somewhere. And with this particular gentleman, Brian, I mean, mm-hmm, you can just, you know, see that it came from a real place, you know, when he would be interviewed and they would ask him about where did these songs come from,
mm-hmm,
and how it's from genuine, raw experiences. Let's not rob people of their experiences with God.
Right.
Let's not rob people of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It just reminds me again when Jesus told Martha, being so concerned of what the Mary was doing, he said she chose the better thing.
Mm-hmm.
Be okay with others choosing the better thing if you don't choose it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, earlier this week, it was on the 20th, I guess that's Monday, the Lord was, I was thinking about choices. Oh. And that every day, every moment of every day, we make choices. And, you know, the Lord, you think about the scripture where the Lord says, you know, choose life. You know, I set before you life and death. Mm-hmm. Choose life. And I just sense that we're coming into a time where there's going to be a clear delineation of those who know God and those who don't. Those who profess God and those who don't. And it just, again, you know, me harping on the social media thing where somebody's pointing out a person that they think is a false prophet. So now we're away from Benny Hinn, and then they're on to somebody else now who's a false prophet, like the newest false prophet. And so I'm just watching this take place back and forth. So we've got, you know, this lady that has a ministry. People are receiving deliverance. They're being set free from lifelong addictions, all kinds of things. God's doing miracles through that ministry. You know, not unlike Catherine Coleman, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, right? You know, who even had a television program. So, you know, all that, it was accepted back then, you know, that these miracles and things were taking place. But now with this latest group, you know, it's just like the Pharisees you know, when they accused Jesus, you know, the Beelzebub thing, you know, and when Jesus said, can Satan cast out Satan? No, he cannot. So the fruit of this person's ministry is very evident in the people who have been set free and delivered. So now we've got this little war going on with, you know, the group that's over here saying she's a false prophet. And then you've got the people that have been set free and delivered that can testify what God has done in their life. You know, standing up against those that are, you know, accusing her of being false. But anyway, so back to the choices. So we have choice. We have a choice to believe God or to believe somebody on social media. And, you know, not unlike a disgruntled employee, you know, maybe somebody had a bad experience with that person's ministry, but it doesn't mean that the person is false. You had a bad experience, or maybe the Lord told you not to be at that ministry for whatever reason. It doesn't mean that that person is a false prophet or whatever they call her. So you have choices, and we're coming to the time where the Lord is clearly delineating who professes to know God and knows him, and those that truly know him. And we're going to be able to see. I just feel like the Lord's exposing those kind of things, and it's becoming very clear. So it behooves us to stay in our lane, which we always have talked about in the past. Stay in our lane, seek the Lord, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Be concerned with yourself. And that scripture study to show yourself approved, that you would be a workman, you know, fit and ready to do the work in the kingdom that God has given you to do. Just like with Brian, he was called to be a worship leader, and he fulfilled that. And I highly doubt that he would have been bashing other worship leaders and telling them that they were not correct with their music or whatever. Mm. So we just need to make our choices for the Lord and what concerns us in our own lives. And I saw, you know, Sam Neill, the actor, He played in Jurassic Park.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, yeah, he passed away recently, and I pop up. When you're on social media, things just pop up. So he had said that he goes, well, I don't know where I'm going. He didn't really say that, but he was implying that. He said, I can see things that are spiraling upwards and then things that are spiraling downwards. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, that's about choices. What you choose to believe is the direction that you're going to go.
Yes.
If you choose to believe that somebody who said so-and-so is a false prophet, if you get into that camp and you start coming into agreement with that, you're going to spiral downwards.
Yeah.
But when you honor people, when you honor people's giftings in the body, then you spiral upwards, you know, because the Lord is the God of multiplication. He multiplies things and he uplifts, and he wants us to do that with one another in the body of Christ.
Yeah, I think it was last Friday where I shared something like the voice I don't even remember what I said, but something about the voice you listen to today determines your future.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we have to be careful with the voices that we're aligning ourselves to. Mm-hmm. And and when you brought up that point about like knowing God right away, it took me to Jeremiah 9:24, which it says in the ESV version, but let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And so, you know, our focus, even at this time in our life right now, wherever you are, should be knowing the Lord, you know, knowing our God and understanding his ways. And will we get to a point that we'll know it all, understand everything? But we should be in that path of understanding God and knowing his ways. And I think that is also the big part of the divide. It's like, who knows this God that we profess? Who truly knows this God? And how, you know, are we, if we're walking with the right one?
Right.
John 4:24. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And out of real worship of spirit and truth is the supernatural. And that's a realm in the presence of God where there is a continuum to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Remember, Jesus himself said in Matthew 15:8, but these honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, you know. And the woman comes to Jesus. She says to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us of all things. And right away he says to her, I who speak to you am he. And when you're in the presence of God, you have that opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth. And you know, if both wires of spirit and truth are not connected, then there's no real power. And if you don't have any real power, you know, you become an enemy of the cross when you try to start making, you know, decisions about who you think is spiritual and who you don't think is so spiritual. Because the highest form of human expression is called worship. But it's only in spirit and in truth. And as we come before God with all of our mud, all of us, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, not to stop there, but learn how to stand tall in the realm of the glorious presence for who God really is, then we remember that it's He who works the clay of our life and forms it and makes it and causes us to become what we are by blowing life into our nostrils, you know, so that we receive, you know, His word with the answers and solutions that we need to go from faith to faith and glory to glory. But it's only through worship in spirit and in truth. And if it's not in spirit and in truth, what is it? It's called idolatry.
Mm.
That's the choice. That's what you're talking about, Karen. So we always have a choice. And it's not to point the finger. You know, what do we want to become? We want to become fruit inspectors? Or do we want to teach truth, walk in truth, live by truth? It's so simple. But there's a realm of permanency of character that believers can come to so that they become independent of circumstances and they learn how to live in the freedom that's in Christ with rest and peace and joy, learning how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God, where change really happens.
Amen. And the fruit, like fruit in other people's lives, you know, we're to partake of that. You know, each person in the body bears different fruit. You know, we've got the fruit of the Spirit, but there's also other kinds of fruit, you know, there's just, you know, good works and just different things. But when you, if you look for the good fruit in people and let that be what you see in a person, you know, I could look at Annette and go, well, you know, I know what your sins are, you know, but I don't look at you that way. I look at her with the what God has put in her to, you know, encourage that to come out. And with seeing, I mean, we've known each other 10, 11 years now. And, you know, I just know all kinds of stuff. But what I focus on is His knowledge of the Word and His ability to articulate the truths, you know, of doctrine and the other things that you've learned as you've gone to school and, you know, been involved with different ministries. You know, that's why I'm in your life, you know, to partake of those things, the fruit of His own labor that He labored. He labored for, you know, the knowledge of the Word.
You know, but just walking it out in faith, believing truth, allowing the Father to work it out by His grace and the viscosity of the anointings that are on our life. We want to always remember it's no longer us who lives, but Christ who is in us, because there's a continuum. And when you walk in the Spirit, you walk in this continuous realm of God. And it's really such a wonderful place, because it's where you go from faith to faith and glory to glory. And there's a continuous, let's call it an emergence into a convergence of spiritual truth. And it's Christ in us, our hope in glory. You know, there's all kinds of teaching out there, but the basic truth, the simple truth, is the foundation. And He came. And to worship Him in spirit and in truth, it is the highest form of our expression to manifest who Christ is in us, which begins with believing truth, walking in love, having the grace of God to run our own race. You know, and I believe in 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 of them say something, 3 of them do something, 3 of the gifts of the Spirit reveal something, but word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits are real giftings that have been given, and these things work according as the Spirit wills, and He wills. But a lot of this stuff that people are doing, and they're pointing the finger, they're not doing it with fruit. They're not doing it by the character of God, and there's absolutely no anointing on what they're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, and you who are so spiritual, you know, why don't you learn how to restore people before you start to rebuke them? because it's pretty serious. You know, the same spirit that's in the world, this socialistic, communistic spirit, it's no different than what's been happening in the body of Christ, because people don't really know what they believe. They don't know who they believe. They're like parrots. They just listen to somebody else and they repeat what somebody else says. But the prophetic voice is being raised up to speak and declare truth. The apostolic anointing is here. It's like a Barnabas anointing. When Paul said, I sent Barnabas to the Isle of Crete to shut the mouths of foolish men. And as soon as Barnabas got there, he said, sit down, shut up, and listen. And it's time that the body of Christ really starts to listen, because faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You know, so if people want to say things like, well, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that's right. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But now it's time to stand up and operate in the governmental anointing of what God is saying today to all believers.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. Well, are you going to take a break? Because,
well, no, you say what.
Well, just by you speaking, it just took me right back to biblical times. Like, I saw myself surrounding this woman called the church. Mm-hmm. And all of the religious people were holding their stone with such pride and such fury to take down this woman. And Jesus came into the scene. And they would put on arrest. They were put in silence. And literally he said, who can cast this stone? And whoever can cast the stone, here you go. Go ahead and cast it.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. And the supernatural of real worshipers who worship in spirit of truth, spirit and truth, they know that it's God doing a work in them. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 2, for he works in you both to will, doing of his good pleasure, creating his ability and his desire in you to do what he's called you to do supernaturally.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's go to the break and we'll be back in a little bit. So after the announcements, there's another song from Brian, Light the Fire Again. So that'll come up right after the break with all the different announcements. And let me just get that set up. So we will be back probably about 5 minutes or so.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. When you pray.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
We're back. And that song, Light the Fire Again, Brian Dirksen, beautiful song. Asking the Lord, Lord, light the fire again. I can't light it myself. I need the Holy Spirit to ignite my heart for you, God. And that song's from, it was 1994. And that was a couple of years before I came back to the Lord. So there's some scriptures about the fire. Zechariah 13:9, and I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and tests them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Hallelujah. And then in 1 Peter 1:7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then, of course, you know, Malachi, who can endure in the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. You know, and that first song that Brian had, the, you know, that, if you gladly choose him now, we can choose to let the Lord refine us, you know, rather than waiting. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get into a relationship with the Lord. Today is the day to do things. Mm. And it's very easy to put things off. It's very easy to be distracted. It's very easy to be concerned about stuff that doesn't mean anything. And, you know, I guess everybody else, you know, periodically I'll think about that. You know, as I get older, I'm like, wow, you know, have I done everything that I have wanted to do or felt like I needed to do? You know, you begin to reevaluate your life as you get older. And, you know, and time waits for no one, of course. So, you know, it kind of jerks you back into reality. You know, and that's the time to say, Lord, light the fire again in me. Give me the oomph. Give me the desire. Give me the ability to stay engaged, to, you know, hook on to the ladder of the Lord and stay there. Help me to, you know, even if it's hard, if you're in a hard time, if you're in a wonderful time, just stay connected with the Lord. And, you know, so when we're refined by the Lord, think about it, that, you know, all the polishing. So once he's polished you in one particular thing, then, you know, that's not a thing anymore. It's there. It's there to be seen and to be enjoyed by both yourself and by others. You know, when the fruit of the Spirit is, when the Lord refines you, and brings out the fruit in your life, and, you know, patience. You know, everybody, the old joke is don't pray for patience because, you know, you can have a whole host of stuff happening. But we all go through it in one way or another. But the Lord wants to refine us. Mm-hmm. And it's not to make our old man better. It's to make the new man more visible.
Yeah.
You know, we're hidden in Christ, but everybody else is looking at us. So we want them to see the work that the Lord has done in our lives.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not just by destruction, but, you know, when we talk about gold and fire from the Word of God, we're really declaring, you know, the refinement process of God, because Hebrews 12:9 tells us, our God is an all-consuming fire, and that fire is to purify us, empower us, and to test what's really priceless in the kingdom of God's currency, because he wants to do his work in his people. And that's why I'm going to say it one more time. The highest form of human expression is called worship. Worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're being refined and refined for that process.
Amen. Amen. So when I look at people who are calling out other people, you know, I'm like, well, something's going on in their life. You know,
the fruit inspector's here today.
That's right.
I had to ask a guy one time, I said, does that say fruit inspector on your hat? He looked at me.
And what was it concerning?
He was inspecting everybody's fruit, you know, trying to get people. He asked me, he said, where have you been? You know, because I used to go to his church, and then I didn't go back. And after he saw me, he rebuked me, you know, and I gave him some money. You know, I love to support people, but, you know, it's like I don't go for the control and the manipulation that comes, you know, with the witchcraft that's in the church. And, you know, I'd rather see people grow, go, and sow. But, you know, it's all about what you know, not who you know. Who you know is Jesus, you know.
Right.
But what you know by revelation is yes. What you learn how to sow, and what you sow is what you grow, and what you grow is where you keep going in the spirit realm, you know?
Yeah. Talking about growing, thank you for being my introduction. You know, because, and it's sad that you guys are not able to see this, but you see this tree? This is in my, the side of my house. Okay.
Is that avocado by chance?
Yes. And
I'll be looking forward.
So it's interesting because we had not had the opportunity. I mean, life is busy, right? And those of you who have to, you know, do landscaping on your days off and, you know, all that, trimming the trees. And so this particular tree was kind of left abandoned, you know, like, and, but yeah, God was still doing the work. He was doing the pruning. He literally, it's like, you know, before I even continue, just keep your eyes on what God is doing and keep your ears in tune to God's voice in the little things and even in the big things. In your day-to-day, just be in tune by the Spirit. And so this tree, I just stopped and I looked and I see all the dead leaves and actual dead branches along with the dead leaves, all withering. Mm-hmm. But then I took notice that underneath, green, the freshness, the growth. But this was between God and the person. And it was taking a long time. This has been since the frost that we had, okay? And it was not attended to. So the other day, my husband goes out there and he starts pruning and he starts trimming the tree. And I'm looking and I look at the tree and I heard the Holy Spirit say, ah, you know, when I'm doing it on my own with you, with this tree, it takes a while. It takes a while. But something beautiful happens when the person begins to partner with me, where this tree can fully be growing again and green without the withering leaves, little dead branches falling off. Mm-hmm. Both work, don't get me wrong, but there's times in our life that, yes, God doesn't. There's times in our life that he's inviting us to partner with me because then it's quicker. It's easier. Partner with me. And look at this tree now.
It looks very nice.
It does.
With all green on it.
All green. All green. Maybe we can post this on the, but no, it's, guys, partner with the Lord. Whatever he's doing, we may not understand or anything, but, you know, partner with him. Go to that tree and work with him.
Mm-hmm. And ask him to light that fire again so he can purge things out of you that need to be purged out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Things that, because, you know, we can't, we're going to be, you can't have any dead weight. You know, moving forward, you need to get rid of the dead weight.
That's scriptural, Karen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us from running our course, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yeah. Amen.
For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we get stuck with, like, just in the habit of always feeling like something's wrong or something needs to be fixed instead of living in what's already done.
Mm-hmm.
Living in the fruitfulness of what God has already done.
Yeah.
You know, we're focused on, we might be focused on the dead stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
the old.
But the Lord's like, no, come over here, just...
Living in the momentum.
Amen.
And this is 2026, the year of the great fix.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the year of the shift. We've been hearing a lot about the shift taking place.
Wow. The fix and the shift.
You know, whenever you enter into God's continuum by walking in the Spirit, not that intellectual stuff, but walking in the Spirit, what begins to happen is you recognize things by revelation, you know, because a lot of these things are mysteries until they're revealed, you know, and as I always like to say, outside of the realm of unassisted natural apprehension is a place all in and of itself where the Spirit of God literally comes and reveals things to you, things that are hidden within you, not to be hidden from you, but to be hidden within you, to be revealed at the appointed time. So when you begin to walk in God's supernatural continuum, you can't help but see these things that are actualization and manifestation. And that's what God wants the body of Christ to do, because behind the scenes, God is at work in the body of Christ, and it's always a remnant-minded people who hear the word of God. They obey that word of God, and that's what changes their time period.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
I have a couple of, just two psalms that, you know, let's keep in mind. And it's Psalm 61, and, you know, part of it, I'm just going to read the until 4. Or maybe a little further, let's see, and then and dive into Psalm 64. This God is so good. And so in Psalm 61, it says, "Hear me, O God, when I cry, listen to my prayer. You are the one I will call when pushed to the edge, when my heart is faint. Shoulder me to the rock above me, for you are my protection and my impenetrable fortress from my enemies. Let me live in your sanctuary forever. Let me find safety in the shadow of your wings. You have heard the promises I've made, O God. You have laid upon the legacy due to those who fear your name. Extend the king's life day after day. Increase his years for many generations. And may he be ever present before God, attending and guarded by your loyal love and truth. So I will never stop singing your praise as long as I live. I will fulfill my promise." And then in Psalm 64, again, it's this cry, right? "O true God, hear my voice, listen to my complaint. Guard my life, keep me safe from my enemies' threats. Hide me from the sinful circle that conspires against me, from the band of rebels out to make trouble, who sharpen their tongues into swords, who take aim with poisonous words like arrows. They hide in the shadows and shoot at the innocent. They shoot at them without warning and without fear. They persist in their evil purpose and plan in secret to lay their traps. And they say, 'Who will see them?' They plot their offense with precision and say, now we have the perfect crime. The human heart and mind are deep and complex. But without hesitation, the true God will shoot at them. His arrow will surely wound them. He will use their very own words to bring them to destruction. All who see will be appalled at what happens to them. Then everyone will fear the true God, and they will proclaim his deeds and will reflect upon all he has done. The righteous will delight in the eternal and will take shelter in him. All those with an honest heart will glorify him.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's good to be on the side of the Lord. You know, we know that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And so when you hear someone making accusations against somebody else in the body of Christ, consider the source. They try to use the scripture that, you know, we're to judge one another and call out false prophets and all this other stuff. But my thing is, if you're not in their life, you cannot speak into their life. You can say things, you can spout off about things, but if you're not in a relationship with someone, then your words just fall flat, and you just become an accuser like the enemy himself.
Just as Paul said to Timothy, he said, certain ones have crept in unaware. It's time to become aware.
Amen.
And know those that labor amongst you.
That's right. Because if they're talking about that person, they're going to talk about you. If they're pointing out what they think is false in somebody else, they're going to be picking at your life as well. And it's downright nasty. The devil is working quite
overtime.
Overtime. I was going to use another word, but probably best that I don't. But you know, the enemy is always going to be accusing. And, you know, when I hear people doing that, my spirit is grieved. And that's, you know, that's how you know when something is coming from the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know that feeling.
And if you've had it done to you, you know, same thing. When someone accuses you of something, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, well, you know, I better ask the Lord, is this really happening? You know, but it's really the enemy accusing you of a thing. The Lord doesn't accuse you. The Lord brings a conviction if you're in the wrong about something. But he deals with it in a whole different way. And I just encourage everyone, do not be an accuser of the brethren. And don't listen to people that are accusing others. Even if there might be a smidge of truth in things, but we know the enemy takes advantage of that little smidge. But, all right, we're just about out of time. Seen, got any last words right here?
Well, you know, over the years, I've always been a pretty friendly guy. And, you know, after church, I've been to many churches and love the church, church triumph, you know, love God's church. But every now and then you meet somebody in the parking lot of a church, you know, they have their Bible open and they're pointing at the Word of God, and they're pointing at you and pointing at the church, and they want to tell you everything about how bad that church is inside. And, you know, they're called parking lot prophets, but, you know, God's people are imperfect people, but the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are right with him. And that's all I wanted to say. But I met a lot of parking lot prophets, and I think they're well-meaning people, but they need to really sit under somebody that can teach them truth and help them move forward into who they're really called to be, you know?
Amen.
God bless them.
Been there myself. So God bless, and we just thanks for joining us. If you have any questions or comments, go to WCNO.com. And use the prayer request form to, if you want us to pray for you, if you have a comment or a prayer request, we'll be happy to do that. God bless. See you next week.